Today we want to think on the subject of Christ is enough from Colossians 2. In Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10 we read, "For in him," speaking of Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In Christ dwelleth all knowledge, wisdom, all power, all peace, all righteousness, all truth, and all life. Where or to him can we, or to whom can we go for anything that is not in Christ?" And the answer to that is nowhere. Verse 9 says, "In him," in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness." And verse 10 says, "He is the head of all principality and power." What do we need that we cannot have in Christ? And the answer to that is really nothing. Verse 10 says, "We are complete in him." In other words, there's nothing lacking. The 23rd Psalm, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "I shall not lack." And Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." And again in John 6:67 and 68, Jesus said unto the 12, "Where will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Yes, Christ is enough. He is all I need. In counteracting the false teaching that the Colossians had received, Paul continued. The false teaching that was threatening the Colossian church was made up of several elements: Oriental mysticism and astrology and philosophy and Jewish legalism. And this last element, Jewish legalism, is what Paul dealt with here. Apparently, the false teachers insisted that their converts obey the Old Testament law. This brand of legalism was not much different from that taught to the churches of Galatia. They taught that you had to obey the law in order to be saved, and Paul wrote the book of Galatians to refute that. Now, these false teachers said that the Jewish law would help believers become more spiritual if they watched their diets and observed the holy days. Then they would become part of the spiritual elite in the church. And Paul made it clear to them that the Old Testament legal system cannot make us spiritual. Now, the law was important, but it didn't save us and make us spiritual. Christ is enough. And the Bible says we are complete in him. Paul went on to explain our fourfold identification with Jesus Christ. First of all, we are in him. Verse 11 says, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." The trouble was that the Jewish people depended on physical obedience, not the spiritual. Often in the Old Testament, God warned his people to turn from their sins and experience his working in their heart. They thought that mere human works made them right with God. But instead, they needed God's working in their heart. They needed the sin and hardness of their hearts removed. And they needed the deafness to spiritual things to be removed from their ears. They needed to hear what God says in His Word and then heed it, live according to it. When Jesus Christ died and rose again, He won a complete and final victory over sin. He not only died for our sins, which brings us salvation, but He died unto sin, which means that we can be sanctified or more Christ-like in our lives. What the law could not do, Jesus Christ accomplished for us. The last part of verse 11 says, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Now, the old nature that we have, the body of sins of the flesh, was put off or rendered inoperative so that we need no longer to be enslaved to its desires. The old sinful nature is not eradicated when we receive Christ as our Savior, for we still sin, but its power has been broken as we yield to Christ and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and obey God's Word. Secondly, the Bible says we are alive in Christ. In verses 12 and 13 of Colossians 2, we read, we are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Paul goes right on to another truth here that is such a problem to so many today. Just as legalism was a real problem to many in that day, so baptism is a problem to many in our world today. Just as legalism could not save anyone, so baptism does not save anyone. Just as teachings of the law was a sign of God's covenant with them, so baptism is a sign and picture of our belonging to Jesus Christ. Even though the law was important, it did not mean that the person lived in a right relationship with God. And so baptism, though it is a step of obedience, and it's important that after we receive Christ that we are baptized, but it does not mean the baptized believer is living in a right relationship with God. Keep in mind that in the New Testament, the word baptize has both a literal and a figurative meaning. The literal meaning is to dip or to immerse. The figurative meaning is to be identified with. For example, in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2, we read, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The Jewish nation, you remember, had been down in Egypt, and Moses led them out, and they came to the Red Sea, and God divided the waters of the Red Sea and dried up the bed of the Red Sea so that the Jewish people led by Moses could walk through it and escape from Egypt. Now, it says the Jewish nation was baptized under Moses when it went through the Red Sea. And there was no water involved in this baptism because they went through, as I said, on dry land. In this experience, the nation was identified with Moses. And Paul used the word baptism in a figurative sense in this section of his letter. For no amount of water can bury a person with Christ and make him alive in Christ. When a person is saved, he is immediately baptized or placed by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ and identified with the head, who is Jesus Christ. This identification means that whatever happened to Christ also happens to us who are believers. When Christ died and was buried, we also died to sin and died to sin's penalty and were released from sin's power. When Christ rose again, we rose with him to newness of life and left the grave clothes of the old life behind. Scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all this took place through the faith of the operation of God, as Colossians 2:12 says, or through faith in God's work in sending Jesus Christ to die for our sin on Calvary's cross. It's faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary that makes all the difference in our life. It was the power of God that changed us, not the power of water, because Jesus Christ died and was buried, and because God raised Jesus from the dead, when we place our faith in him, we have eternal life. The practical application is clear. Since we are identified with Christ and he is the fullness of God, what more do we need? We have experienced the energy of God through faith in Christ. So why turn to the deadness of the law? God has forgiven us all our trespasses, as we see in verse 13, so that we have a perfect standing before God. And thirdly, we are free from the law in him or in Christ. Verse 14 of Colossians 2 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There are two thoughts emphasized here. Handwriting was blotted out, and it was nailed to the cross. The law included ceremonies and sacrifices. It included special feast days and observances and dietary regulations and farming regulations and regulations with and relationships with others. It included regulations on dress and Sabbath observance. The law also included the Ten Commandments, which is the moral law. It all pointed to Christ. It all pictured Christ, and it all was God's standard of righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, we read, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That was Jesus speaking. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law. He fulfilled every picture and type. He was the fulfillment of the law. But the righteousness that is attained through the keeping of the law could not be attained by any man, for all men are sinners, and every person sins and comes short of God's perfect standard. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, we read this. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that committeth, that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Therefore, if any man is under the curse, therefore every man is under the curse. But what we see, but we see then what Christ did. Notice Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now back to Colossians chapter 2:14. When Jesus shed his blood for sinners, he canceled or blotted out the huge debt that was against sinners because of their disobedience and sin against God's holy law. He paid the full debt when he died on the cross, and thus the holiness of his own law was upheld. The law was nailed to the cross. In other words, the fulfiller of the law, who was Christ, was nailed to the cross. And therefore, the way through which we who cannot keep the law can still be declared righteous is through faith in Christ, the one who was nailed to the cross. Paul's main point in all this is that a godly life is not the result of a legalistic life or strict adherence to the law, even though it's important. But a godly life is by being filled, by receiving Christ as Savior, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then living in obedience to God's word and following Christ. This does not mean that we are at liberty to be lawless, but rather, as we love Christ and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. There's a song that goes like this. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All that I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All that I need. And then another verse. Christ was crucified. For me he died on Calvary. That's why I know he loves me so. Yes, he's all I need. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much that salvation comes by simple faith in Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary. And when we repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our sin is all forgiven. And we have everlasting life, and we have new life. As Scripture says, we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for what Christ did for us, and thank you for the new life that we have in Christ. And we thank you for We thank you for this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.